Hello, people. Remember
Hi,
when we?
people.
I have brought little Nathaniel Crabsworth on,
Hey,
for a very special surprise.
Being
retrospective.
What do you mean by surprise? I don't understand this whole surprise.
Well, we're going to be talking about something quite fun.
Okay, I'm interested. I like fun.
Okay, and it's a surprise because I have a feeling of all of the animated movies I could focus in on to talk about, you would not have ever in a million years picked this one.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have to bring up my notes for this, by the way.
Yeah, wow.
I have we are notes. Prepared. Yeah, I have notes for this, so that's pretty big. So, this movie was released in 1983 as a musical science fantasy film that originally started out as being child-friendly, but then people were all like, nah, you should make it adult animation. And for better or worse, that's what they ended up doing. But it was, you know, pretty tame adult animation. Except for some very, very disturbing scenes in terms of, like, not the way you think. It's not disturbing the way that you think it would be, but we'll get to that. So this movie is unique for a few reasons. One of them being it has a soundtrack that has never been allowed to be released in its entirety because
Never been allowed.
Nope. Because many of the artists involved that made the soundtrack are all still today under different labels. So there was a promotional cassette released for media purposes, but it has never been released in its entirety, complete. Singles have been released by the separate artists, but that's it. So that's one spot that's unique. Now, I bet you're asking yourself, why are we talking about this movie? Well, you see, it has to do with a tiny little, at the time, little animation studio that did it. And it is, in fact, a Canadian animation studio. And they did this before they became utterly prolific for Canadian animation in the 80s and 90s. Okay. At some point, as a kid, you would have seen one of their shows. Additionally, just because I want to have some fun here. Here are the artists, the music artists that had songs featured on here. So Debbie Harry with Robin Zander. Robin Zander is from Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick did a bunch of music for them. Earth, Wind and Fire did a song. Melanie Brown, who I'll get to in a little bit, had a song on here, and she was kind of like Canadian DJ royalty. And then we've got Lou Reed and Iggy Pop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it is a who's who. Also, I have to admit Earth, Wind and Fire's track on it. It's a funky club jam called Dance, Dance, Dance. And I must admit, it is quite the banger. So, not sure if you're getting where I'm going with this, but we'll see.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So the movie I'm talking about is Rock and Rule, and it was made by the Canadian animation house known as, Nelvana.
Oh!
Yeah. I thought you'd get interested when I said that. It was made by Nelvana, and I would like to highlight some of the voices. So just so you know, Catherine O'Hara is on here, which is pretty cool. But the voices I'm going to be highlighting are Don Franks.
Yeah, okay.
I also want to highlight not a voice, but the soundtrack person for this, the original sound, not the singing, but the music portions that you use during action. Patricia Cullen, and you'll find out why I'm highlighting her when I talk about the studio. We also have Susan Roman. We have, who I mentioned before, Melanie Melody. We have Dan Hennessy. We have Chris Wiggins. We have Brett Titcomb, and we also have Maurice LaMarche.
Oh, thank God.
We got all on this thing. Like, this is kind of before they were famous.
1980s. I'm sorry, if you want a who's who of the 1980s, you could do a lot worse than rock and roll. Now, I must admit, I've never seen this movie.
It is okay. It is messed up in a very, you can really tell that there was a push-pull between keeping it child-friendly or making it adult. Like, there is a push-pull, and there are moments that are completely fucked up. Like, the main character, Angel, gets, like, drugged and hooked up to a machine where the Mock, the bad guy, forces her to sing so he can raise a demon. The demon is Iggy Pop, by the way, which is just all kinds of cool, and the animation sequence for that is really neat. But yeah, it's disturbing stuff like that happens. Like, you're just like, this is so wrong. There is a character in it who is the younger sister of the three henchmen to Mock, who befriends Angel after Angel's kidnapped, who is very Harley Quinn-esque when you look at the character. But obviously that character is based off of, you know, people in New York. So I think it's a similar archetype is what they're based on. It's not that anyone's copying anybody. But yeah, it's a really messed up movie.
I can believe it. I'm just looking up a synopsis of it now. I kind of want to see this thing just to see how bad the push-pull is from because I mean, I'm sorry, PG-13 animation, regardless, you're always going to have that push-pull regardless of animation studio. But now that we know it's Nelvana,
yeah,
who are really, really big in the children's animation scene, I guarantee you, regardless of where you are, you've seen a Nelvana show.
Oh, well, I'm actually about to get into that. So
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not going to get into the plot line of the movie. You can look it up. We'd be here for days if I had to go through the plot line. The focus is going to be mostly on the animation and the voice cast. So Nelvana, for those of you who don't know, was quite prolific in the 1980s and the 90s they're still going strong. But they were very prolific then. So Rock and Roll happened. It cost the studio 5 years of time and $8 million. It was all of its resources, and it had very little promotion from the distribution studio, MGM. Yeah. So they ended up, for better or worse, they ended up being a financial failure. Whatever you think of the movie, that's what happened. However, the company survived by working on a number of children's series. So these included The Edison Twins, 20 Minute Workout, Mr. Microchip. They did the first season of Inspector Gadget. And
that's then a cool animation studio. Yes, they did.
Yeah. Big one, Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh, I'm sure there are bigger ones.
Oh, but that was like the first, I think, big one that people... Well, Inspector Gadget, big.
They did Inspector Gadget.
Huge.
Yeah, you're going to know Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget, huge. Strawberry Shortcake, again, quite big. They got in with Mattel and made the shows based on their products. So that they also did stuff on AmToy properties, such as Madballs and My Pet Monster. Where they really ballooned is Care Bears.
Yep.
And this is why I wanted to mention Patricia Cullen. So Patricia Cullen did all of, I guess, the ambient music in Rock and Roll. By the way, that ambient music went way harder than it ever needed to.
Yes.
Way harder than it ever needed to. What is she also known for? Just the original theme to the Care Bears. She did Madballs. She did the original music for Star Wars Droids. Ewoks as well. Edison Twins, if you're noticing that she worked with Nelvana a lot, and I say worked with because she did die in 1991 in Toronto. Now, if you're noticing she worked with Nelvana a lot, you are completely right, because once again, Nelvana did all those shows. They did Droids. They did Ewoks. They were in talks to do a show based on Doctor Who, but that never really happened. They did more feature films like A New Generation, Adventure in Wonderland as well. They worked with
They took Care Bears and promoted the hell out of it. In fact, when you look at Care Bears, at least when I look at Care Bears, I think of the 1980s incarnation done by Nelvana and Deke more so than anything else.
Yeah.
It's just how big they were and how good the animation was.
Oh, absolutely. I also want to mention they got in with the Scholastic Corporation. So they did a video series for just a tiny little known dog called Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to talk about, like, they were hitting all prolific stuff.
Oh, now let's not beat around the bush here. There's something else they did that was huge.
Oh, keep going.
And I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. It's huge. It's an educational landmark that is still being used in schools today. That's how big it is.
Could you be talking about a bus?
I would be talking about a bus. I would be talking about a school bus. Now, I don't know if it's a regular school bus or a magic school bus. That is way beyond my pay grade. But if you want to talk about Nelvana and you want to talk about how big they were in terms of children animation, you name it, they've done it. Even if you look at stuff like Babar the Elephant.
Oh, huge. Yeah. They also did, what was it? Excuse me. Rupert Bear and The Adventures of Tintin. Like, just hit after hit after hit. Like,
they did Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice. Yeah. Which, again, another, like, I used to watch that thing all the damn time. Like, this is, it's so weird that Rock and Roll was right before, and they went into, like, such a prolific, series production. Like, they even did Roseanne Barr's Little Rosie, for example. Like,
they could get their hands on.
Yeah, the list just keeps on going. If I fast forward most recently, we're talking about the revival of Thomas and Friends All Engines Go. It's like they're still going. Like,
they're still going.
Yeah. It's quite an impressive run, especially for, like, you know, a little Canadian animation studio that had this commercial flop, and then they were like, we're gonna do kids TV, and they didn't just do it, they bangers. Oh yeah, they were bangers all the way, and which led to them having the longevity that they have.
Are we just going to talk about Nelvana? Because I'm totally on board with that.
We can, but I can go into, like, the voice actors if you'd like.
Oh, no. Well, so before we go any further with Nelvana, I just want to say, you have seen something out of Nelvana. It could be your childhood. It could be in schools. It could be Tales of the Crypt Keeper. You know, it could be Nickelodeon shows. Fairly Odd Parents was done through animation services by Nelvana. It's part of the reason why they were locked into certain wars over who legally owns the rights to Timmy Turner, Cosmo, and Wanda. Nelvana, I guarantee you, even if you don't know who they are, you know who they are. That is just the tip of the iceberg for Nelvana. Fantastic animation company, one of the prides of Canada. I don't care about any of the issues or let's just say they've ran some legal trouble. Not to the level of, say, Deke Entertainment, but it is there. But if you take a look at Nelvana, and I believe they're called Chorus now. I believe the name change went through. I'm not sure. But you name your childhood shows, all of them, you can find one that's by Nelvana. Guaranteed.
Yeah, and I do want to just take a note. When we talk about a lot of this stuff, we're really focusing on the creative side of things.
Yep.
Like the creativity. We don't really want to get into, I don't know, what's the way to describe it? Corporate drama?
Yeah, because Nelvana's got a lot of it. But, I mean, if you look at their acquisitions too, a lot of it is acquiring stuff that could be used to make bangers. Yeah. Toon Boom Studios, for example, which made your 16s, your Total Drama, the Canadian epidemic of Flash-based shows, all parent company is, or the parent company to some extent, for all of those, Nelvana. So long as you use Toon Boom Studios, Nelvana is your parent. It's insane how much they've been able to do.
So
anyway, let's talk about some voice actors.
So we're going to be talking about, from the top, we're going to talk about Don Franks.
So can I be perfectly honest with you about Don Franks?
Yes.
His greatest achievement in terms of voice acting is not being a voice actor himself.
I had a feeling you were going to mention something.
You had
about
a feeling
this.
I was just going to go to the jugular on this?
Yeah.
He's Cree Summer's daddy.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for everything Don Franks does. And he has done a lot, okay? X-Men, My Dad the Rock Star. He was a sub for Frank Welker as Dr. Claw and Inspector Gadget. He's done stuff with Ewoks as well as the aforementioned Rock and Roll, but
rock and rule.
But he himself, above all else, is Cree Summer's daddy. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. Cree Summer is a goddess, and you deserve credit for it, Don. Without you, we would not have Cree Summer. Yeah, in animation. Don Franks was working on Inspector Gadget, and he was the one who got Cree Summer her first job because she was his daughter in Inspector Gadget.
And then she just took that and ran with it. Completely wild.
Well, she only ever did, like, you know, hundreds upon thousands of jobs. She herself is not loyalty or royalty in the Canadian voice acting world whatsoever. No.
I do want to say he has an interesting start in life. So yes. he was adopted shortly after his birth. And, you know, he was known as a musician and singer called Iron Buffalo was his stage name.
Yep.
Dropped out of high school at age 15, was working several jobs, and kind of stumbled into the whole acting thing there. But what's really cool is the fact that once again, you can see him showing up with Nelvana quite a bit.
Yep.
Because, like you mentioned, Star Wars Ewoks, Inspector Gadget, Star Wars Droids. Here's a fun one. Star Wars Holiday Special. He's the voice of Boba Fett.
Yeah, thanks for that one. I'll log that one away.
One day I will make you watch it. It's pretty cool. He also has a very distinctive voice. And he's been...
He does.
Yeah, like he was brought in for a lot of X-Men stuff as well. And he was known for doing X-Men... Wow, it's Sabretooth, Graydon Creed, Puck, Shaman, Phalanx. So, very distinct voice. And I think it really, with Mock, which is who he was in Rock and Rule, was Mock, was quite a, you gotta see it to understand how his voice with the animation is just so manically maniacal. Like, just so manically maniacal. I think the character only really works because of that. By the way, the reason why I highlighted the music talent of Rock and Rule is because they sing their songs. So the musicians who did all those songs that I highlighted, like Debbie Harry, Cheap Trick, etc., they did the singing voices. The voice actors did the speaking voices, which I thought was quite cool, except in the case of Iggy Pop, because the demon only gets a song. So it's only Iggy Pop. But yeah, and you know, he's just the father of a very, you know, probably not known outside of Canada, Cree Summer.
Yeah, no. She, like, she's good, but is she Tara Strong good? I don't
know. Moving along, we have Susan Roman. Yeah, so she's a Canadian voice actress and voice director. Best known for the role of Sailor Jupiter in Canada Dick and dub of the anime Sailor Moon.
Keyword Canada Dick, eh?
Yeah, I know, right? I thought you'd appreciate that. That being said, she's also known for the voice of Melissa Raccoon in the second season of The Raccoons. And I freaked out about that. I was like, The Raccoons, the series nobody freaking remembers. Voices on Adventures of Tintin, The Red Engine, and Thomas and the Magic Railroad. Multiple English versions of dubs. And then she has played the voice of two Care Bears in two different decades in the Care Bear City. So Good Luck Bear and Champ Bear. Several recurring roles in X-Men, just also doing Barbie movies as well. Like, the list just goes on, and it's quite a bit. Babar, Beetlejuice, additional voices in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Care Bears, of course, Garbage Pail Kids. Like, she was working, man. This is a working lady.
So I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. This was my first instance of a what's the best word to put it? This unfitting voice actually belongs to her, and nothing against Susan Roman. She's done a lot of stuff I enjoyed, but I remember going to Thomas and the Magic Railroad as a small child and hearing the voice of James the Red Engine for the first time. I'm like, that is just not right. I don't know. And it had nothing to do with Susan. It was just the way it was cast. But something that I am going to bring up, which I don't think gets a lot of love because it's kind of small, is the TV show Birds. And I don't know if you know, it's an Ivana thing, but it's about a group of, it's a children's animation thing about a group of birds. I remember her as Eddie Storkowitz and him wanting a zoom lens camera. And for whatever reason, it might have been the only episode of Birds, but Eddie always stuck with me and I did not know why. Obviously, you know, Sailor Jupiter, which is where I thought I knew her from. She was also the voice of Mega Man in Mega Man Legends and Mega Man Legends 2, which was kind of huge, considering that people want her to come back. Besides that, you know, Barbie, Bakugan.
If you look at
something that is co-produced by Nelvana in any way, they will usually get her to go and do the thing that they need her to do.
I do want to highlight one voice just because it's fun for me.
Yes.
Officer Ann Lewis in RoboCop the animated series. I just Can't help myself. It amuses me that an animated series was made out of the RoboCop concept. 80s and 90s, everyone.
Gotta love it, eh?
Yeah. All right, we're gonna keep on going. So, Melanie Melody, mostly known for singer, DJ, Juno Award nominated, very into electronic dance music. She had a song featured on Rock and Rule. And she did various female voices as well. So she had some voices. She was female villains in Inspector Gadget, did some voices in Star Wars Ewok, and then also was the a voice in Rock and Rule as well. And I believe she's that little sister I described before. But just like if you look at her discography, and like most like electronic dance DJ people who aren't, you know, touring everywhere, it's a lot of singles, but she got she's gotten her dues and royalty as working with Deadma. Is it Deadmau5 or Deadmau5? I can never remember how to say it.
I think it's Deadmau5, but don't quote me.
Yeah, and so her musical credit on Rock and Roll, and I just love this song title. She wrote it, she sings it. Hot Dogs and Sushi.
Gotta love it, eh? There's nothing that goes together better than hot dogs and sushi.
Exactly. So,
Exactly.
Oh, sorry, she didn't pay. Sorry, I apologize. She didn't play the little sister from Rock and Roll. She was Dementia, the Carnegie Hall groupie. Which is just an amazing credit, I think. And then also did voices in Care Bears and Strawberry Shortcake. You can tell, like, Nelvana brings her in, right? But
yeah,
her big thing was music. I also wanted to highlight her because for any of you who have ever been in Toronto for a while, like not just kind of you came in, did your thing, left type tourist thing, but you've been in there and you've explored, is there's some quirky scenes. And
yeah.
So she first came to attention of the pop art scene because she would decorate her pink Princess Mobile Volkswagen in plastic baby dolls, trophies, boa trim seat covers. And then she was also a baker of art cakes and opened up the Bubblicious Lounge and would just dress up in elaborate, vibrant costumes and wigs and have rowdy shows and stuff going on. Like just very pop art weirdness that I think people forget that goes on in Toronto too. Like, there is quite this vibrant scene underneath all the Mervish productions. So, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was interesting where, like, again, we have another person before they were big showing up in Rock and Roll. We're going to move down the list and go to Dan Hennessy.
Dan Hennessy.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Braveheart. That's... I know him as Braveheart, and I know him as Chief Quimby. I can tell you that right off the cuff. Very, very big in terms of prolific voice actor and prolific voiceover director. As long as you look at the 1980s and 1990s, that's when he's huge. He's still active and working today, but just to give you some idea of his credits, he was Sir Hot Breath on Blazing Dragons, Father Bear and Little Bear, Braveheart Lion, like I've already said. He's done stuff for Cops, Police Academy, Starcom, the U.S. Space Force, Dino Saucers, My Pet Monster, Mad Balls he's been in. If you look at 80s and 90s, Dan Hennessy is everywhere.
Did you want to mention some of his voice direction credits?
Let's take a look at some of his voice direction credits, shall we?
Well, the if you're looking at the same list I am, the top two really do stand out.
Well, it depends on what we're looking at here, because I've got the Magic School Bus.
Yeah.
I've got X-Men.
Yep.
I've got Blazing Dragons.
I also got Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I've also got Beetlejuice. I've got Cyber Chase, which is one of the most prolific educational programs ever. It's still out there today. I've got Pelswick.
There's your birds, too.
There's birds. The thing that I swear to God I dreamed up before today was a fever dream, but it wasn't.
So, like, he has been everywhere.
Yeah.
And even there's half of his credits. It's like, we know he was on it, but they don't know who he was.
No, exactly. He's very much... very much works the same way as Andrea Romano does.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's done a little bit of everything, right?
Can I say what? One credit that, again, I find fun? So think of his voice. Think of it. Picture it. Hello Kitty and Friends.
Yep.
I was just like, this is amazing.
but yeah, it's legitimately a lot of fun. And... you can't help but look at somebody like a Dan Hennessy and think to yourself, this guy has done a little bit of everything. He's done it all. Nothing but respect for Dan. And he's very, very much like Canadian Andrea Romano, just because of the breadth of what he's been able to do and what they're look at and what they're known for. And even his work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my God, he was voice director on Magic School Bus during the 90s, which launched your careers of guys like, off the top of my head, Stuart Stone, who was Ralphie. There's tons of others off the top of my head whose careers he pretty well launched. Just because he was able to get the performances that would get them casted in other things.
Yeah. Just for everybody here, in case you didn't notice, this is a very Canadian episode right now of, like, we just sneak in and change your entire childhood. That's what we're known for.
Canada in general.
Yeah. This might be a time to mention before we switch to the next person. Apparently, Canada has for a few decades now and still is at the cutting edge of children's programming.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool when you think about it. All right, our next person up is Chris Wiggins. I do want to point out, this Chris Wiggins is not to be mistaken for data scientist Chris Wiggins. This is English-born Canadian actor Chris Wiggins, just in case. And he does hail from Blackpool, England. He started as a banker before he moved to Canada in the 50s and started an acting career, and then went into, you know, voice acting and stuff. But he's actually won some Canadian film awards and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
And even if you look at his stuff, again, very, very much, and you'll find this a lot with Canadian studios, if they like you, they will use you. Mm-hmm. And they will use you as long as you show up. If you look at very, very much Nelvana-themed shows, he shows up a lot.
Yeah. Like
Franklin, Rescue Heroes, Little Bear, Babar.
Care Bears.
And hey, there's birds again.
Yep.
The Busy World of Richard Scarry, Pippi Longstocking.
Oh, we haven't Sailor mentioned Moon. Pippi Longstocking yet. Yeah, another Sailor Moon alum, Franklin. By the way, I've forgotten like at least three people that we've mentioned already. Franklin, they did that too. Strawberry Shortcake, Star Wars droids again. So, like, if they like you, they
will have you around till the day you die.
Yeah. little fun thing. He's some of the stuff he's known for: Swiss Family Robinson.
Yep.
And Friday the 13th, the series, which is just, you know, kind of just fun little tidbits. But yeah, it's you're seeing a theme of like, this is these voice actors started with Nelvana with their first big production and then kept on being brought back again and again. Not to say they didn't go away from Nelvana, but it's just realized that that studio has been and still is very prolific.
And will continue to employ them.
Yeah. For as long as they shall live. I will note we have had some deaths go on as I've continued. Chris Wiggins, for example, died in 2017.
Yep.
But we're getting to our last two people. So this person, this is a fun name. So Brent Titcomb. Yeah, we just had to say it. Still alive, by the way, 83 and still going. Yeah, and here's a fun fact. So actor, musician, plays guitar, percussion, harmonica, and jaw harp, which is, you know, fun little thing.
I don't know how the hell you get jaw harp.
I just want to know how you get into it, you know? So
no. For his credits, there isn't a lot here.
There isn't a lot, but you can tell.
There's just one that, you know, sticks out.
Just a little bit, right?
And of course it's Sleazy from Rock and Rule, but no, if by chance, and again, completely by chance, you don't know of this person, you don't know of this character, you know, it's not very big. It's definitely not still going to this day. But a giant dog, of which whose name I completely forget.
Wouldn't be Clifford, could it?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to have to go out and say it and basically accuse the guy.
Fun thing, too. So musician with Three's a Crowd and Lee Harvey Osmond, by the way, also wrote several radio jingles and that room TV commercials, you know, for, I don't know, just, you know, Contact C, the very little known Casino Rama. A tiny little coffee shop called Tim Hortons, and you know, just a you know, a tiny little mom and pop shop called Canadian Tire.
Yeah, tiny insignificant things, especially if you're in Canada.
Yeah, and totally not a company that has its own subcurrency at all.
No. I mean, can't just go and apply for a credit card with somebody like a Tim Hortons and get it.
Yeah, like they're a tiny, tiny greasy spoon coffee shop, right?
But you know, all power to you. Success isn't measured by the depth of the greasy spoon or the depth of a man's jingles.
Yeah, so again, we're talking about like, we've got a bunch of prolific Canadians from this weird fucking movie from the early 80s. I will admit though, animation wise, like, put the plot aside, it's fantastic. The music holds up, the performances hold up, the plot, you can really tell there's this pulling from two different directions, a bit of an identity.
You can tell that in a lot of PG-13 animation movies though.
I think you can tell a lot of that with like the animated movies from the late 70s, early 80s,
yeah,
where they were trying to figure out what are we doing with this. So I understand why it is a cult hit, because a music perspective, an animation perspective, and a performance perspective, but also like this movie came out before so many Canadians involved in it, and a Canadian company went huge, and it's just, how often can
it
do this?
It could have easily closed.
Yeah. It could have completely closed. They lost all their finances. They pivoted to children's animation. And they didn't just, like, you know, bang it out. They thrived and brought it to next level.
They banged it out on a level that hadn't been seen before and hasn't been seen again in terms of Canadian animation.
Yeah,
I don't care how big Wild Brain is now.
It's completely prolific and changed the game beyond borders.
Yes, it did.
We're very used to, like, there's a lot of things that does not translate outside of Canada. Or you get a lot of companies that they don't see the need to go outside of Canada. And this was sort of an impact wave that went outside of Canada, which is pretty cool. Now, I will say he also wrote songs that got recorded by Anne Murray, Andy Williams, Glenn Campbell, the Osmond Brothers.
You know, again, small town.
Yeah, small time musicians. You know, he only sang in front of the Dalai Lama. You know, But yeah, it's pretty cool. Now we're gonna get into somebody, and I save them for the end because I'm fairly certain I've made you talk about this person multiple times. So we don't have to, like, go in detail, but I also didn't want to refuse you to have the opportunity to say something about him.
Yay.
So another person from this movie, Maurice LaMarche.
Yay!
And just once again, what the F is with this movie?
Okay, so what you have to understand is during the 80s, Maurice LaMarche was really cutting his teeth. And one of the first studios to really give him a chance was Nelvana. Okay, so the biggest thing that you can find with Maurice LaMarche that I haven't already talked about at length, because my God, he's a voice acting god. I've screamed, "You are God," several times in relation to Maurice LaMarche. I will continue to scream, "You are God," with relation to Maurice LaMarche. I mean, seriously, he's the brain, he's Alfred, he's Commissioner Gordon. He has done everything there is to do in animation, and by far the most successful person we've talked about. And that isn't to say that the others weren't successful. They absolutely were. But if you're looking at this from an animation perspective, for over 40 years, Maurice LaMarche has been prevalent in the animation scene. And one of his first roles was in Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
With Nelvana.
Yeah.
Animation. And what have we said before? Nelvana Animation, if they like you, they will use you over and over and over and over again. And they will push you to your absolute limit. You want to talk about some of the stuff Nelvana's worked on? Okay, Inspector Gadget. I'm not sure if it worked on the Transformers or not. I do know that it worked to some degree on the real Ghostbusters. You know, DTV, Dennis the Menace, maybe. G.I. Joe, definitely. Tailspin, absolutely not. But hey, what can you do? He got himself noticed. He got his big break from Nelvana. Over and over and over and over again, you'll see, like, just powerhouse after powerhouse after powerhouse animation. And the more you go back and the more you push yourself, the crazier things will be. And when you look at Maurice LaMarche and you look at all he's done, you will see probably the epitome of Canadian voice acting in this world. It is absolutely insane how much he's been able to do and for how long he's been able to do it.
And it all started with a weird ass fucking movie.
In it really
1983.
Did. It really did.
But yeah, this is why I kept this under wraps for you, because I had a feeling if I said rock and roll, you'd be like, what the hell is that? And you'd look it up and all the surprises would have been spoiled. But it's a movie that's had so, like, not just the musicians, but like compositionally, the animation house, the voice actors, like this is all before they kind of went big.
Yep.
And yeah, Maurice LaMarche is like went the biggest, but it's still like, it's not as if everybody went into obscurity afterwards. Like it's nuts what happened with everyone involved in this movie after the fact.
It's amazing when you look at these kinds of movies, because you could never ever in a million years expect to find somebody like a Maurice LaMarche on this kind of movie.
There he is.
But there he is. Exactly.
So as we wrap up, I have a question for you, but before I do, do you have any kind of final words, final things you want to get out of your system on anything we've talked about?
I love Maurice LaMarche to death. Absolute god of the industry. And to any aspiring voice actor out there, if a studio likes you, if a person likes you, if a voiceover director likes you, they will bring you back. So for the love of God, just be a good person.
Yep. Don't be a douchebag.
Or if you're gonna be a douchebag, make sure you're being a douchebag for the right reasons.
It's true. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I want to know, what was your reaction when I first said it was rock and roll?
I'm like, there's gotta be a reason for this. There's gotta be a reason for this. Because I've heard about rock and roll, and I heard about his animation, and I heard about it psychedelic. What I did not know, apart from Maurice LaMarche, who all was involved in this movie?
Did you know who the animation studio was?
I knew it was somebody I should know, but I did not know off the top of my head it was Nelvana.
So when I said it was Nelvana, how did you feel?
I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Now everything comes into perspective, because when Nelvana wants to go, when it comes to animation, they can go. And they can go hard. And they will push their staff to the limit on how well they can go. It's insane.
Yeah. It's a really... I have to admit, it's always fun when you find a film or a piece of media like this, where it's right before everything explodes. And I'm sure when you're going through it, it didn't feel like that. Like, I'm sure the studio did not feel that way when they're scrambling to stay afloat.
No.
I'm sure they didn't feel like they were exploding at the time. Like,
No. It's just when you pivot and diversify, oh boy, can you diversify.
Yeah. And they weren't just keeping their heads above water. They built a freaking sailboat.
Yeah.
And went sailing.
It was an empire unlike any other.
On that note, now that we've done this, are you happy I kept it as a surprise?
I'm happy. I'm honestly quite happy. I do want to go and watch Rock and Rule now, see if it holds up. But aside from that,
it's interesting, but I think you will like the animation. And I know I've said this like three times, but I gotta say it again. The animation when the demon comes up is so nostalgic, but also just so cool to see. And then you have Iggy Pop singing, and it's you're just like, yes, this all makes sense. This all makes sense.
So on that note, I want to say thank you very much to our listeners. We are now on Spotify for Podcasters, so you can do like ratings.
We made it.
Yeah. We would really appreciate you rating us because it helps us keep the algorithm gods happy. So, you know.
Yes, it does.
You know, like a, I don't know, like a 5 out of 5. Once again, well, we all know who's giving us like top marks. That's Jerry in Kazakhstan.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate you, man.
And this will be, you know what? I'm not sure where this is going to be in the release schedule. So happy whatever holiday passed or is about to happen.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And we will be back again with more fun stuff. And like, we have a little Nathan Crabsworth and I have quite the to-do list that we've made for ourselves as projects. And oh, we are, man, working on them.
It is extensively. I'm probably going to have to delay Star Wars, but we will cross a bridge when we come to it. Right now, though, if I may do a cheap plug.
You go ahead.
I don't know when this is going up. First of all, when is this going up? Is this going up like immediately or?
I'm not sure, but you can promote your stuff.
Perfect.
Look, either everyone's going to see it or they missed it and they should be very angry with themselves.
Okay, so we can't lose with this. Perfect.
Yeah.
I can deal with that. That's all fine. So, I am currently in the final stages before a play releases in Godrich Little Theater, the Godrich Livery. It's called Elizabeth Rex. Very, very much Queen Elizabeth in Queen Elizabeth I in the 15th century England, and it's a lot of fun. It's very, very smutty. Come out and see it, because it's basically Elizabeth balancing her womanhood with the duties of a queen, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
And who are you playing?
So I'm Lord Robert Cecil. He is very, very much a villain, but there's some humanity there. There's some heart there that I don't think gets brought up enough. And I think if you go into this with the right mind, and that right mind being that Lord Cecil is a savior, absolutely a savior, then it's going to go and it's going to go out quite well.
Look, you can be a savior and still do bad things. It just depends on who you're saving.
He's saving an entire country, so I mean.
So there you go. Now, the question I know on everyone's minds, and this will determine if people are either rushing to the play or if they are going to profoundly regret they missed it. Are you wearing pantaloons?
I will be wearing pantaloons.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Either rush and get your tickets now or, you know, eat a pint of ice cream in disappointment because you missed. You missed the pantaloons.
Preferably double chocolate fudge, fantastic ice cream.
On that note, we love you. We appreciate you.
We love you, Jerry.
Jerry.
Jerry!
And goodbye!
Goodbye!